Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Retronauts Micro. I am your host for this one, Bob Mackey, and who is here with me today?
Hey, it's Henry. Hi.
So, everybody, this is our second part of our History of Video Game Ads podcast. The first part was in Retronauts Micro 87. If you haven't listened to that, go back and listen to that one first, because it sort of tells a whole narrative, these two podcasts together. And if you don't remember, I really needed a micro, and I had to go to Japan, so I split a main episode in half cleanly and neatly, very surgically. So this episode, you guys might like it more, actually, because it does start with the Nintendo era, and it moves on from there. And one of the key things I want you to look at with these ads, and I don't know if we underline it enough in the episode itself, but like, watch as everybody but boys, like teenage boys and little boys, disappears from the marketing. It's very, very interesting, and also very sad.
Yeah, it's sad. It's a clear conscious choice made by advertisers to just be like, no, we sell these to boys now.
Yeah.
And I think my favorite one to laugh at in there, just the ones that feature the mom in it going, oh my, yeah. Oh, just
she's,
in the background.
She's watching the boys have fun. So,
oh my boys.
At this point, the line is drawn in the sand as to who video games are for, and I find it very interesting. But yeah, these are all fun ads. I think doing this was a hoot, and I think there's even more space to do these on Retronauts, more of these ads. So yes, please enjoy the second half of the History of Video Game Ads. So we're back, everybody, and we've entered the 80s. We're going to start with Atari's campaign, Have You Played Atari Today? Because lots of people were doing that. And one
the
of
crash
these,
is about to happen, right? Like
this is
82. 82.
Yeah. They're on the brink of explosion. But
that's, end of 82 is Warner Brothers or Warner Entertainment saying, holy crap.
Yeah. but this ad is another of the sort of instructional variety. It has a very gentle voice to tell you about Atari. But this is one of the most outlandish casts of a video game commercial from a modern day perspective. It's a little girl and an old man.
Grandpa, you want to play Pac-Man?
Pac-Man? Horsey?
I'll show you, Grandpa.
Pac-Man is a video game cartridge you have to buy separately to play on the Atari video computer system. Your parents hook it up to the TV.
Those are supposed to be the ghosts after Pac-Man. Watch out, Grandpa! Stick with me. You'll get the hang of it.
This is the Atari video computer system. Pac-Man and other video game cartridges are each sold separately.
That old man sounded just like Stan Lee.
Pac-Man, he wasn't one of the characters we created.
It's actually Mr. Hooper, who died on Sesame Street, aww, famously. Told him about death.
Big Bird about death.
Henry, please.
Now, what's interesting to me in this one is that it is another grandpa, mm-hmm, but the other grandpas before this were like, I'm a hip grandpa, I'm teaching you guys about it. That it had the viewpoint of like, if you're old, be hip by playing this game. The viewpoint now is of the little girl, or it's for the kid. I would think a kid watching this thinks, I'll be empowered because I'll be an expert over something that my elders won't know about.
Finally, generational knowledge I can pass down.
The very gentle, like, it's called Atari, and you hook it up to your TV, and your parents will help you, and you put the cartridge in this little slot. See, it's fun.
Play like, it loud, you little bastard.
Yeah, but I mean, it does show, I mean, another commercial we'll see later will be like, finally, you can own your parents at something. But again, multi-generational, fun for the whole family, and showing how the cartridge goes into the slot and people holding the controllers and how it's a thing you hook up to your TV. It's all the very basic knowledge you need to know about a video game system. And that is the point of that commercial, just to like let people know what a video game is and also tell them why they should want it. Oh, but our next ad is actually the one I was just talking about, where it's like, finally, my parents can tell me what to do, but I can kick their ass at Pac-Man. So I do like this ad. Another little girl, by the way.
If her dad is so strong and her mom is so smart, if the girl knows that at the very start, then why even begin? Why not play that?
Because kids always win when
playing Atari games is one of the few things that children almost always do better than grown-ups. Isn't that nice?
You can beat your parents and they'll love you for it. They'll hug you.
Yeah.
I heard Atari Pac-Man happening, so I'm going to say no one in that ad won.
No, the whole family
lost. There are
no
winners.
But again, mom is playing, which is something that will not happen in the future. But the little girl's playing. They're all having a fun time. But it's like, yeah, it's another like pitch to the kids. Like your parents push you around, and now you're in charge.
Playing video games? Well, what a weird, unrealistic commercial.
It is so heartbreaking to me seeing the girls in these commercials.
Yeah.
Especially like she is costumed in the way of like she has on like a pink outfit too, which is
pigtails.
Yeah. Pigtails, so girly. Even when girls are in video game commercials a decade after this, they don't get to dress girly. Like it cannot be too feminine.
Overalls.
Overalls
and a t-shirt, that's it.
Punky Brewster style.
So yeah. You know they're one of the guys.
They're trapped in a fridge playing their Game Boy.
Best way to do it.
You can't play a Game Boy in a fridge. It's too dark.
You turn the light on in the fridge.
You keep tap the little light.
It's like inside of a dog.
Well, before the penguin comes out and turns it off.
You have 12 minutes worth of air to play Tetris before it's all over. Don't go into fridges, kids. Our next ad is actually – so I didn't want to include ads for games because we have so much to cover. But this one is I find very interesting in that it's a barely animated cartoon. I was talking to Henry. I was like, I think they just submitted their pitch for the ad and the Atari was like, oh, this is the ad.
This is the storyboards.
Yeah, it's basically the storyboards. But I like it because it is like – this is how you play Pac-Man. Here's what Pac-Man is. Here's how you play. People are talking about Pac-Man. Well, it's this easy to figure out, and it's a song. It's not quite Pac-Man Fever. In fact, it sucks, but we're going to hear it in a second here.
First, the Pac-Man eats through a maze of dots. Then the Pac-Man heads for the corner spot. Then he eats his fill of a power pill. And then all those ghosts turn blue. Boo! And Pac-Man eats them all, too.
Have you played Pac-Man? It's the new video computer game everyone's talking about. And naturally, it's from Atari.
Hank Venture.
It's the Venture Brothers playing it.
Have you played Atari today?
It's like I said, it's the new video computer game the kids can't shut the fuck up about. Yeah, it was like all the rules of Pac-Man are presented to you in that commercial where it's like you get the dots and then the ghost chased you. And then you eat the power pill, and then you can turn the tables, and this guy sounds like he's doing a version of Coming to America.
But by, like, 82 or 83, isn't Pac-Man old news to people? Like, don't they? They should
only
know.
Only in the arcade.
Yeah, into a console. Yeah.
They might have heard
deal.
Of this Pac-Man fever, but they've never played
that's,
Pac-Man.
That's how it's presented. Like, have you heard of Pac-Man? Well, this is how it works, and you can play it in your home now.
I'm not surprised
that
Pac-Man is...
The hot new sensation that all the kids are twerking about.
Pac-Man is central to all these commercials, and I get it, too, because they spend a lot of money to get Pac-Man on that
right,
Atari.
And that's why this ad is just storyboards, because they spent their entire budget wrapping up the license.
No actors. Well, or on that song. Like, when they got the bill for their license song, they're like, we paid you how much?
They're like, hey, Don McLean, thanks for the song. Now we're broke.
God. So our next ad is for the ColecoVision. It's called the Arcade Experience, and it's one of the first ads where, of course, Pac-Man is an arcade game, but in this ad, they're actually acknowledging the arcade, which... Again, it had certain connotations back then that might be lost to time now, where it's like it was a den of sin and villainy where you bought drugs and smoked weed cigarettes and things like that. But
ate some weed and put some cocaine in your eyes.
You just chugged weed. But
butt chug some weed.
But yeah, this ad and our next ad is like the arcade comes home. And I feel like all the other ads, even though they're playing Pac-Man, they're not like have the arcade experience. Like they don't want to mention the word arcade around a family playing games. But here's the ColecoVision ad about the arcade.
You are the player and the arcade is the arena. You focus your mind and propel yourself into a universe where you're the master of your destiny for as long as you can keep the trip going. Whoa. This is the arcade experience. We're ColecoVision. We bring the arcade experience home with games like Donkey Kong with multiple screens, arcade controls, and arcade graphics that let you have the arcade experience at home because your vision is our vision. ColecoVision.
That was cool. What's that?
That was cool.
Well, nothing says arcade games like Connecticut leather.
Yeah.
That's my opinion. But the families are slowly being phased out of these commercials, but it is a young man and he's being the master of his dominion or whatever they say in the commercial. Sorry, Jeremy.
Just, you know, when I think arcade experience, I think like cigarette smoke and weird sticky soda residue on the machines and like older kids with mullets who hate you and are going to give you a wedgie if you try to play their game.
Bring the bullying home.
And the stupid Dragon's Lair machine that just won't shut up.
Oh, yeah. That is true.
That's not the experience I want to bring home.
They said arcade like 12 times in 30 seconds.
Yeah.
I, though, maybe it's extra shocking. Maybe it's extra impressive because we just watched the worst one, that Pac-Man ad, but they had real budget for this one. Like, it's special effect. Like, it's Star Wars type special effects of flying through the screen.
It's like, crazy, like almost 3D animation.
Yeah. You know?
It's, I mean, very well done.
The ColecoVision controller is almost as big as a Star Destroyer, so it makes sense to have that thing flying into the screen at the beginning.
But again, we do have, despite all the high-tech visuals, we have a shot of the cartridge going in and also a close-up shot of somebody operating that awful controller. Mm. Like, it's terrible.
Yeah, the arcades, you're not getting that awful controller. That's one difference.
Spongy buttons and a telephone dial? Wow.
It's disgusting. But, like, I looked at a lot of ColecoVision ads, and they are all about the arcade experience. Like, they are very focused on that. And so we have another attack ad. First it was George Plimpton doing the attacking, and now the Atari 5200 is doing the attacking against ColecoVision.
So this is like a rock, paper, scissors thing, right? So now Coleco needs to attack Intellivision, and we're good.
I think it was because –
it's like Fire Emblem.
So ColecoVision, they made an adapter so you could play Atari 2600 games on their system.
It almost seems illegal.
I mean, I guess it's not illegal, right? No. It was done nice and legal.
They reverse engineered the common parts that were made that were used to make the Atari 2600 and – Yeah.
So this ad is an attack ad, but it's also addressing consumer confusion where it's like, this is the 5200 system that we have. You can't play this on ColecoVision. We're going to show you a cartridge failing to go into a slot. It's almost sexual with how it's played out. But let's listen to it. It's pretty fun.
If you think ColecoVision plays all Atari cartridges,
you mean it can't?
Here's Pac-Man on ColecoVision. But here's Pac-Man for the Atari 5200 Super System.
Now you're talking.
And it doesn't work on ColecoVision.
But won't their adapter?
It won't play Super System cartridges.
Not pole position?
Not this pole position.
Not centipede?
Not this centipede. Only on the Atari 5200 Super System.
But aren't they hard to find?
They're everywhere.
Everywhere?
The Atari 5200 Super System.
We can't sell them. They're everywhere.
You'll never get rid of them.
I like that, The ad was narrated by Turbo from Wreck-It Ralph.
I thought it
sounded... You'll never be able to play an Atari game on a ColecoVision.
I thought it was like Larry Bud Melman or something, now that we're in the 80s. But yeah, again...
That nerd with his hot dog. What a dork.
But there's like, you can't play these games on anything but the Atari. No, you can't. You have to have an Atari.
Smarter than to show the 5200 version of Pac-Man versus the 2600
version. Yes. But again, like... This was necessary. There are not ads like I can't play God of War on my Xbox One. Why not? It's like it won't fit. It won't fit in the tray.
I mean, the numbers, the ones and zeros won't go inside.
You can't play this on the PS4.
You do still need explanations of what console exclusives are to people.
Yeah, yeah.
Say like, but I want to play Bayonetta 2 on my PS4.
Too bad.
This shows me how shitty the market had gotten at this point that they have to be like. Well, okay, so 5200, what is that? Is that a 2600?
It's
no.
It's a super system.
Is it? Well, which one is it? You can't do that either? What? Like, if you need to answer that many questions in a commercial, you have
failed.
A complicated product.
Yeah. Wait, what is it? Is it some sort of a toaster?
I think might have been a young Fred Stoller.
Oh, my God.
He looked and sounded just like
him. He did. The hot dog guy did.
So it's amazing we've gone through an hour of the show without hitting an NES ad, but now it's Jeremy's time to shine where we know.
Oh, that's right, because I'm a video robot who lives in an egg.
You are. You just came out of the egg for this podcast. We appreciate it. But so we've talked about it plenty on the show. There was a video game crash in 83. Nintendo, in order to be successful, had to position this as a toy. And so I knew this always, but I never really saw these ads with that in mind. So it's amazing to see how many of these ads are built around Gyromite. Mm. And Super Mario Brothers is just like, that's also a thing. But Gyromite, guys, look at this thing.
Right.
But,
there's that Donkey Kong guy. But look, a video robot.
But this is the first NES ad, I believe, on record. Let's hear it from 1985.
Will you be the one to witness the birth of the incredible Nintendo Entertainment System? The one to play with Rob, the extraordinary video robot, batteries not included. He helps you tackle even the toughest challenge. Will you be the first to raise the incredibly accurate Zapper and play games like Duck Hunt or action-packed Hogan's Alley and high-flying Kung Fu, each sold separately? Will you be the one to experience the Nintendo Entertainment System? Comes with Rob, Zapper, Control Deck, two controllers, Gyromite, and Duck Hunt.
The only non-accessory-based game is Kung Fu in that commercial. Mm-hmm. It's all about Gyromite and Duck Hunt and Hogan's Alley. Not Mario is not even seen in this video at all. Maybe they didn't know.
Yeah, we didn't know he was the mascot. Yeah.
If this actually accompanied the NES launch, the soft launch in New York City in October of 1985 or thereabouts, Super Mario Brothers didn't launch in Japan until September of 1995, the month before that. This commercial would have been in production long before that.
You're right.
And there was some debate for a while, like, did Mario actually launch at the soft launch? And I think, you know, people like Frank Cifaldi eventually pegged it and said, yes, it did. But it may have been sort of a last-minute addition to the lineup. So it's possible that, you know, the most impressive-looking game in that initial launch lineup, like, wasn't slated to be released when it came out.
I buy that totally. And one of the things about this commercial we're going to see from here on out, it's like, okay, it's just little boys. We're not going to show cartridges because we don't want you to think this is a video game. But it's also it's hard to show a Nintendo cartridge going in, and like it's more involved. It's not just like ka-chunk, you know, putting it down.
Yeah, they liked it not being ka-chunk because then it further made it different from an Atari or a ColecoVision.
Your game pack is like a VHS cassette that plays video experiences.
It's a game pack.
I knew Rob was pushed so hard as like it's our Teddy Ruxpin, but also the gun, I didn't realize the zapper was pushed so hard even from the start. Like, the incredibly accurate, because they were probably used to people thinking like, well, yeah, it's a light gun. It's probably shit. Like, this doesn't really
work. Yeah, I mean, light gun games existed before that at home. The Telstar, from Coleco that we saw earlier, that had a variant called the – oh, crap. Gemini, I think, that had a light gun with it. But they weren't as good as the technology that Nintendo came up with.
And that Odyssey commercial had dad shooting ducks or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, so there was that version of Duck Hunt. But here's another early NES ad. Again, almost entirely built on the shoulders of Gyromite, on the shoulders of giants. And Super Mario Brothers is mentioned, but it's also called an arcade hit, which is bizarre. But it is sort of like an also-ran compared to the Titans known as Gyromite and Duck Hunt. Let's hear it.
When you get hold of the Nintendo Entertainment System, when you master Rob, the video robot,
master him,
and meet the challenge of Gyromite, when you shoot the light-sensing zapper, when you play the system with so many arcade hits, you're playing with power. The Nintendo Entertainment System Deluxe Set, batteries not included, Super Mario Brothers and other games sold separately.
Nintendo Entertainment System will take you on the highway into the danger zone.
They even show like the screen reflected in Rob's eyes as if from Rob's POV. You're playing with Rob. Like he's there with you playing
he's
the
your
game.
Buddy.
No, I mean that literally is how Rob games are played. Yeah. You can very easily play Gyromite with just two controllers, and that game is a breeze. Like the challenge is making Rob actually function correctly and giving him the guidance.
It's like your little sister.
Your incredibly not intelligent friend that you have to guide through a video game
and
experience.
And this kid that's like, you're playing with power, and it's like the He-Man thing.
Yeah,
and
he's like flexing.
He's wearing like a red like rugby shirt that's tucked into his jeans, and he's got like Courtney Cox hair from the music video. Like
it's an odd image, but
he's
yeah.
like the dorkiest kid doing that. Bam! Like lightning's flashing behind him.
But it's only a little boy. There's no the little girls or moms or dads.
It's very much this is after Transformers, He-Man, all those toys have made it clear like these are for boys, and this is how you sell things to boys.
Yeah.
Boys don't feel strong enough. They want to feel the strongest. And finally, Nintendo will give them that strength.
You can master Rob and conquer Gyromite. I want to, like, I...
Dominate.
This makes me think about how, video games from this era onwards are very much gendered towards men. Like, this is a product for little boys and men. Was this a chicken-egg thing? Did, like, Nintendo invent this sort of marketing? Or was it, like, move shifting that way on its own?
I think it was shifting that way. Mm. Like Henry said, you know, you had toys like He-Man and stuff that were very, very strongly gendered. Like, hey, there's the labia pink aisle over here where you get your Barbie.
Is that a Crayola color?
That is, yeah, actually.
Discontinued.
It's button-shaped.
Come.
So this is just a continuation of that line of marketing. Nintendo just jumped right on it and said, yeah, we're going to do that.
I mean, when you market toys, you market it specifically to one gender or the other. Like they've talked to – I remember Paul Dini said this about some animated show he was working on that its real point was to sell toys, that even if he wrote a good – he wanted to write in, like, say, a strong female character in quotes, that – they just reply with like, well, number one, if a kid sees this, they'll be scared off by this strong girl and then they won't buy toys, or we're not going to make a toy out of this girl because the boy's not going to buy girls' toys. And it's just that's how just the sexism. But the executives would even take the stance of like, hey, it's not our fault. Boys just won't buy this stuff, so we're not going to spend money on it.
It makes me feel kind of guilty of all the girls that were made to feel shame about enjoying these things, or that were denied the opportunity to have fun with these things just because of marketing and other forces like that. Like,
and then the marketing tells impressionable boys to yell at girls and say, this is for boys. Go to all your girl stuff, girl.
I mean, it could be just implicit in that in these commercials, all you see are boys playing the game. So that puts the message in your head like, yes, this is a boy thing. Like kids are very impressionable like that. Our next ad is the Atari's triumphant We're Not Dead ad, in which it's like, hey, Nintendo's great, but you know what? We're a cheap date, and you'll get some, buddy.
Yeah.
So this is Atari's The Fun Is Back. It never left, everybody. The fun's back.
The fun is back, as you can see, with the 2600 from Atari. Still under $50, but wait, there's more. There's a stock of new games at your video store.
And he's popping and locking.
Boxing, the action's rough. If you're gonna make it, you got to be tough. Midnight Magic is an arcade blast. Like a pinball wizard, you got to be fast. Fire Solaris to protect your base, then blast off into hyperspace. The fun is back, oh yes sirree. New 2600 games from Atari.
I think my family took advantage of the fun being back. We were also poor. Before I got an NES, we did have an Atari, and I think it was because it was under $50.
Well, and that rap really spoke to your parents.
Oh, yeah. They're like, this black guy being dubbed by a white guy has a point, honey.
I mean, that guy's at least dancing hard. I think in 86 or 87, a rapping commercial feels like new and fresh then.
It was, I mean, even Rappin' Fats Piscopo hadn't started selling Miller Lite. So they were way ahead of the curve.
And even Barney Rubble wasn't rapping yet, right?
Nope.
But I love how cheap that commercial is, too, compared to the Nintendo Power ones, too. It's just like we got one dancer, we got a background, that's it.
And we got a TV.
Yeah, and a TV. But
they had to borrow it.
Also, then they have to remind you, like, there's new games, too. We know this is a decade-old console, but we got new games.
We made Double Dragon for this, and we shouldn't have, but we did it. And it's, I guess you could play it. Here's another early NES ad from, I believe, 86. I grabbed this one because it's the only NES commercial I could find in which the parents are getting in on the fun. Of course, mom is not playing. She's being supportive in the background. But I feel like – so now it's even just like – it's not just girls don't play video games. It's also like, no, parents after this point, it's like your parents suck. This is the stuff for – these are for young people. And I feel like the parents are being phased out, even though plenty of parents played Nintendo. My parents played Nintendo.
Oh, my mom did it.
Yeah. So let's hear this ad.
To the dynamite before it explodes. Will you be the first to raise the incredibly accurate zapper and play games like Duck Hunt and Hogan's Alley? The first to build a library of game packs like Kung Fu, Golf, even games like Excitebike that you program yourself? Will you be the first to get all this in one package? The Nintendo Entertainment System. The first to move video action off the TV screen.
So that was that. And mom is in the background like, oh, you man.
Yeah.
You're having fun. I'm going to go bake something.
Her husband, Kurt Braunohler, is playing that thing real hard.
That's true.
It reminds me of the great SNL series of parody commercials like, my boys.
Yeah.
Their pizza rolls.
Like, my hungry boys.
She just does like even the same. It's 30 years ago and it's still the same head bob. Like, oh, you guys. Like,
she's having fun.
As the only person here who's not watching these videos, because the computer's facing away from me, and Henry, who's sitting next to me, is watching on his phone. I'm just hearing, like, I'm just getting the soundscape, and it's really interesting how there's this hard demarcation of the soundscape in these ads beginning with the NES. You go from, like, you know, warbly analog synths and kind of re-recorders and stuff like that with the Atari and Intellivisions to all of a sudden you have, like, this very aggressive slap bass and, like, you know, like Highway to the Danger Zone was that previous indie ad, and that one was almost more like, I don't know, like it definitely has a harder edge to it, a more aggressive feel to it.
Yeah, I can see that being part of it, like part of the male focus.
Yeah, I don't know if you notice as much when you're watching the games, but when you're just listening to these commercials, you're like,
man, like there, it got really sharp and really forceful all of a sudden.
Yeah, I can see that. I neglected that because they're just so much fun to watch. But yeah, even the music
slap
bass is
being. Like, I think they sampled those commercial slap bass lines as like
for
the,
Seinfeld.
No, for like the one of the default instrument samples in the Super NES.
It sounds like that. It does.
Last thing, the gender politics of that video. Not even a little sister. It's a little brother in it, too. Like, not one girl can touch this.
She's not allowed to look at the TV.
She sat in the corner with her dolls and told to enjoy them.
Brush their hair. We're playing I'm Mastering Gyromite. Our next ad is the first Sega ad, and it's possibly the only one they made about that's not about attacking Nintendo, but they do say it has twice the blank, but they don't say what it has twice the – they're not saying what they're comparing it to. They just say twice the blank, but I feel like – after this, the gloves are off. So here's the first Sega ad.
Late in the 20th century, terminal boredom fell upon the land. The maker looked down and said, "This is not good." And so it was. He brought forth Genesis, a system with twice the power, twice the challenge, twice the fun, with high-definition graphics and stereo sound. And the maker saw what he had done and said, "Now that's not bad. Discover Genesis, and your world will never be the same."
So this commercial, I recommend you watch all these too. They'll all be on the blog, but everyone is like kind of slaving away at these ancient computers, but this kid walks up to the pedestal to play Genesis. I feel like if they had that, you know, attack Nintendo, you know, philosophy early, they'd all be showing Nintendo games where the kids would be slaving over gross Nintendos.
Yeah, and they would be bored out of their heads. And they're all boys, by the way, again.
All boys. Yeah,
but
yeah.
Knowing from the background on this, like, they – in America, they didn't know how to sell the Genesis because they're like, well, we don't have any famous characters in this, and they just gave us – they gave us Altered Beast, which is not a system seller, but it was supposed to be. And so, like, they barely show you Altered Beast in that. They're just, like, vague good games. And I think, too, when they get to the part where it's like, now you're playing with power, he thinks, you know, that's not bad. Like, no, people should not be leaving this thing. That's not bad.
Pretty
like,
good. Pretty.
It's really underselling your thing.
Passable.
You need to sell as hard as possible at people.
The most cromulent gaming system out there. So here's our next ad for Genesis. We're still in the 80s, by the way. We're going to get to the 90s very soon. But Sega now is immediately attacking Nintendo. So before, George Plimpton and others would be like, this just looks better and it plays better. But now they're being like mean-spirited.
This might be one of the most famous ones for my generation.
Genesis does
16-bit arcade graphics.
You can't do this on Nintendo. Genesis does
16-bit sports action.
You can't do this on Nintendo. Genesis
does.
Genesis
does.
Genesis
does.
Genesis
does.
Genesis does.
Get Joe Montana free, Pat Riley free, Buster Douglas free, Super Monaco GP free, or Collins free. What Nintendo? Buy a 16-bit Genesis system between now and October 31st and get an extra game.
So yeah, Genesis does what Nintendo don't. In the future, they would just straight up show you footage of Nintendo games or Mario World, but this time it's just like, take our word for it. We're better.
Mm. It's got a little more teeth to it. And also that program is them saying like, okay, you do get Altered Beast when you buy this. We're not selling this on Altered Beast. You get a better game with it too. But this is another aspect that not just of them going straight for Nintendo, but celebrities. They're like, here's Michael Jackson, here's Joe Montana, here's Pat Riley.
Is like, it's pre-Sonic, and they're desperately trying to find some kind of personality to attach to this thing. So they, like, do all of those deals with people.
Michael Jackson and Joe Montana, there were few people more famous than that in 1989.
Yeah, I mean, I knew of them through Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, but everyone else is just like, oh, you're Tommy Lasorda, you're in a Sega game, and Buster Douglas, you're in a second.
Yeah, Buster Douglas is about to screw up that deal real bad. He is a falling star real fast.
He was a very lucky man to beat Mike Tyson on an off day, and then nothing went well for Buster Douglas after that.
Yeah.
But I think we're now beyond the idea of having to show a cartridge going into a thing. Like, they avoid that completely. There's no close-ups on hands using controllers. Even the early Nintendo ads had, like, a close-up on hands, like, weirdly holding a controller in the way that no one actually does. It's like this instead of like that.
Yeah, with a thumb on the start button, not A or B.
It's really weird.
Because in this one, especially since it's all the players, it's all the stars, they're not going to be playing games. Like, they couldn't even get Pat Riley to say words. He's just throwing up a hand. Like, I guess you're seeing him doing his job of coaching.
And having slick back hair.
Yeah, I don't think, did they even shoot that footage? Or is that just like taken out of a game?
No, they could. Well, I mean, the NBA would not let them film at a game.
Yeah.
With the express written support from National.
They're all,
whatever
all in
the thing
jail
they say
now.
Is.
Written consent.
Yes, that's what I meant.
So our final section is the 90s, everybody.
I'm alive.
Yes, Matthew has entered the world. We're all very happy about that. But this is the height of the console wars and an age of much meaner ads. So Sega, they really took this and ran with it. Their ads were hip. 90s style, like MTV style edited commercials with rude jokes and crude behavior and all that good stuff. Nintendo would eventually kind of do the same thing in an embarrassing way, but they were kind of stalwart in their... in their philosophy of we don't acknowledge the competition, like Sega does
we're
not
too good
exist.
For this. Yeah, we don't need to.
And we found out in our controversial John Stossel micro from 5 years ago. I'm still like living in the shadow of that podcast that pushed away all of Retronauts fans and caused us to lose all of our money. But you'll remember that those were puff pieces for Nintendo, and that nothing else was named. Like there was no mention of any other existing video game. So Nintendo that's what they did. They were like, we are Nintendo, and nothing else exists.
And also, despite the name of the company, they put a very white face on it to be like, if you're scared of Japan taking over America, nope. It's look at all these white people that work for Nintendo. it's a Japanese name, but look at the white guy.
That guy's got a bow tie. It makes him extra white. So let's move on to the first ad. And I don't have a lot of these from the 90s. The funny thing is that because of how ads changed, a lot of these ads are just all visual, like montages with, like, of course, you get your stock footage of the Hindenburg and that bridge shaking and the guy being hit with the cannonball. Like, anything on 120 minutes on MTV, they would just stick into any kind of stock footage, you know. So here's the first Super Nintendo ad. It's Paul Rudd enjoying Super Nintendo, and Tony J is narrating. And it's an odd throwback in that I think this is like an exception to the rule in that we or it's like it's an odd exception in that we do get the footage of cartridges going into a thing. But it's taking place in this like abandoned parking lot, and
it feels like the continuation of playing with power. Like it doesn't feel new. It just feels like you're playing with power still, but now you're Paul Rudd,
and now it's super power. But it's Paul Rudd; he's the star of the show. But there's a bunch of silhouettes of people who are joining them, and they're all men. So we totally understand who's playing these games and who they're intended for by the marketing.
Decide to step up to this kind of power, this kind of challenge, this kind of flying, crashing feeling. When you decide to get serious, there's only one place to come, the games of Super Nintendo. No one else creates this kind of experience, because no one else creates these kinds of games. Now you're playing with power, superpower.
I do like the subtitle, New Zelda in Football to Come.
Now, they're not naming anyone by name, but definitely by saying no one else creates this, no one else does this. That,
they clearly mean TurboGrafx.
Yes. I mean, there were lots of challengers, and it's just – it's the Nintendo difference is what they're talking up there too in general.
Yeah.
But it's too austere. Like, it's not – It's not exciting enough. It's more about awe-inspiring. I'm just like, yeah. Look at this game, F-Zero. Wow.
Pretty right? wild. Yeah, I think
it amazes Paul Rudd. It will amaze you, too.
Wait until Clueless, everybody. He's going to break out. But I think the footage of cartridges being inserted is not instructional, but it's there just for impact. It's just like, boom. And yeah, it's you like see the footage on the screen.
It's a cool, action-y, yeah like a bam
well,
thing to do.
And
like,
also, the NES didn't have cartridges that you inserted like right. that. So it is kind of saying, like, it's different.
But it opens with Paul Rudd, like, slam. Dunking a Mario cartridge in the slot, like just slamming it down. So yeah, I love that. So our next ad is like,
oh man,
very odd. It's a man in drag playing a woman who is from the group Hag. So again, maybe we could see how gamers feel about women. It's being informed by some of this marketing. So in case you were wondering, Mario is for ugly women who look like men, I guess. That's what this ad is telling us. And let's hear about this character talking about Sonic and how she finds him distasteful.
Danita Stokes, president of HAG.
It's bad enough that Sega Genesis has the most 16-bit games, but this new Sonic the Hedgehog, oh, he really ducked my doilies. They say he's incredibly fast. Well, what's the hurry, mister? And about his attitude. Smarty pants! Why can't it be more like that nice boy Mario? Little brat!
Now, get Sonic free when you buy a Sega Genesis system at its new price of
$149.99. Yeah, that ad is, I get that they were going for a church lady thing.
Yes, exactly.
That's
I was thinking
like
church lady.
Super Dana Carvey. Like that was this time, and her cadences and little things she
for
says.
Sure, yeah.
Like very church lady, but
And Mav, right? Oof. Was Mav a thing yet?
Mav?
Mothers Against Violent Video Games?
I don't know about that,
but
there's
Mothers
Against
Drunk Driving. Yeah, Drunk Drivers.
But man, Hag, it's just right next to her. They're like, Hag.
They could have just called it bitch or something like that, because that's what they're saying.
And there was also Bad Bothered Against Dungeons and Dragons. That was a thing back then.
But it is sort of saying, I mean, again, we are reading a lot into this, but that's what we're doing on this podcast. It's like women are the enemy. Adults are the enemy. It's really narrowing down the focus. Like young men, you, these are things for you. And this adult lady hates them.
Well,
like,
your teacher would hate Mario and tell you to play, to not, or your teacher would hate Sonic and tell you to play Mario because she would like Mario because he's old and boring.
It's so bizarre to, if I meet or talk to women who are in their 20s, I think they grew up without this shame because, like, a lot of them play games. I'm like, wait a minute, women don't play games like this. Like, you didn't, did you not, like, maybe in the early 2000s there was not that shame for little girls to be into games with, like, Pokemon was existing and, you
Pokemon
know.
Pokemon opened more doors, perhaps. Yeah, but the, goddamn, man, this, beyond the sexual politics of it, I would say that it at least advertises well of, like, they got Sonic, they know it's a system seller, and they got to push it hard. They got to pack it in. Let people know, like, you get this with a Genesis. You're going to buy this. You get Sonic and a Genesis for less than you get for Super NES. And it's so much more cool. Like, that.
Yeah.
They had very clear desire of what they wanted to say with this commercial, beyond that women are ugly.
Or ugly women hate Mario. Yes. Or no, they love Mario, so you shouldn't like him.
So get this. So it was – the thing I was thinking of was Mavav, Mothers Against Violence and Video Games – and it was Mothers Against Video Game Addiction and Violence, and it was a fake thing made up by a college student that tricked a bunch of people on the internet in the early 2000s, and there was even a Penny Arcade strip about
Wow. I had no idea about this. Mavag?
That's what Mavav. M-A-V-A-V.
I would just think that that's such a clumsy acronym or whatever.
I thought that back in the day when I first heard about it, but I never followed up on it and found out that it was a like a thought experiment by a college
Weird.
Student. That's
cool. I guess it worked. Yeah. So we only have a few more ads to play here, and this is another one where Sega's attacking Mario, specifically Mario World, and it's basically putting both of the games side by side, which is pretty interesting. We're going back to the Plimpton era of destroying your competition.
Gotta go.
Hey, guy, you're the first serious gamer I've seen all morning. Check this out. Brand new 16-bit Super Nintendo with Super Mario World. Wow!
Oh, what's this one?
Oh, this is a Sonic the Hedgehog from Sega Genesis. Hey, look at these radical colors, huh?
Wow, Sonic's fast, too.
No, over here.
I like Genesis. And it costs a lot less.
Wait, kid, that game
I'll take Sonic and Genesis.
I knew that.
Sonic the Hedgehog. More action, more speed. Sega Genesis, it's a whole lot more for less.
I know it's being played for humor, but the idea of a salesman helping you buy a video game is also funny. Like, which one should I get, mister? Yeah, but again, the salesman's not wrong. I'm on his side because I was that salesman at my GameStop. Like, this is the game you want.
Yeah.
The one that I like.
Does he get more commission from that or something? What's he so – doesn't it not matter what
he probably just likes
buy?
Better games.
Yeah.
I guess.
He could get more commission. Like,
I didn't care when I was shopping – when I was working at GameStop. Buy whatever you want. I get paid the same.
So I'm not watching this video, but I know this ad very well, having referenced it and used it in my projects.
I've seen
it in
your videos, yeah.
Yeah, and this one's interesting because it's shot from a first-person perspective. You are – the prospective customer, and the camera keeps, like, even though it's kind of being forced toward Mario, it keeps gravitating toward the Sonic. So it's actually, I think it's a really clever and effective advertisement.
I think so, yeah.
I think it really stands out. It's shot in a different way, and it's not a montage. It's a continuous shot.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of goes back, like you said, to, you know, the days of Atari, where it wasn't just like a montage of super flashy, crazy stuff. It was a narrative,
yeah.
And it really puts the audience into the shoes of the character who is in the ad. I think it's a really good ad.
I mean, a lot of teens had to make that choice at the time, so mm-hmm. I bet a lot of them were thinking about, like, which one of these things do I want?
When you see a $50 difference, it's hard to say no.
It's a lot of money to a teenager in 1991.
And, you know, the salesman here isn't necessarily representing a salesman. It's representing anyone who would influence your buying decision, like parents who would be like, well, you know, you already owned a Nintendo system. Don't you want to get more Nintendo games? Whereas, you know, saying like, the adults don't get it. This is the new cool thing. You as a kid understand. You're tuned in.
That's right. Yeah, it's more of the, like, don't trust adults, everybody.
Yeah.
They don't know about video games like you.
I think, too, there is an implicit suggestion that this guy can't sell Super NESs and no one's buying him. And that's why he's going so hard to sell on them like he's a car salesman. Mm. Especially the line at the end was like, of course, you'd say, or like, I knew you'd say that. Of just like, you're the 80th dude today who I can't sell a Super NES to.
Who wants these shitty Nintendos?
Who would want a game like Super Mario World? It's weird. He says, like, look at the colors. That also really infantilizes a Mario game, too. Like, it's got colors.
Yeah,
it's
when Sonic is incredibly colorful.
Yeah, ignore this adorable anime hedgehog.
He's fast. Yeah. Like, it's not that fast, kid.
Our next ad is an attack against Jeremy Parrish himself.
Oh,
because
my God.
Second to this more than once, it's like, not only is our competition bad, if you like it, you're an idiot. You're a moron. You're dumber than a dog. We hate you. We want you to die.
I'm the only person who likes Nintendo here.
Well, I'm just saying, you are the guy with Game Boy World.
Oh, yeah.
So it's an attack against you.
Works.
Sorry, works. I'm sorry. I forgot about the rebranding. but this is an ad that's saying, Game Gear is awesome. Game Boy is garbage. And if you like it, you're like this dumb hillbilly family that eats things out of jars. And let's hear it.
They're not wrong.
Some people are content to be entertained by simple one-color electronics. Somehow these people have just never heard of Game Gear, the multicolor portable from Sega with tons of new titles. Some people are like that. But then some people like to eat pickled pork lips.
I mean, I did move to the South.
That's true. Yeah, for the pickled pork lips.
Pork lips.
So that's a
local delicacy.
The visuals of that commercial are, it's like a Texas Chainsaw Massacre family watching bugs fly into a zapper, and at the end, the dead bugs spell out "Welcome to the next level." It's very, very. It's super. It's so Sega. It's so Sega.
It's all green and gross, and everyone's wearing like undershirts.
Yeah, it's not. It's not very savory.
Well, also the angle on that Game Boy has never made the screen look any better. Like, it looks so bad.
And they're playing
a thing.
And they're playing like the first Game Boy game on it too. It's like only Tetris exists apparently.
Yeah, I guess you're limited to that. So these types of ads did get me as a 10-year-old because I was like, well, yeah, color is better.
I don't like pickled pig lips. What the hell?
I already owned a Game Boy, so it was just getting a Game Gear on top of that because I could just ask for that for my birthday and get it.
I couldn't even get a Game Boy. Jeez.
But once I got it, I was disappointed. And I did look this gift horse in the mouth when I got a free Game Gear. But, I mean, it's the one thing they don't show in that commercial is, like, some people also like things that run on batteries for longer than 2 hours.
I think that hillbilly family was too poor to keep up with all the battery expenses.
I think so. Actually, with this ad, I think of another one that's it's the Whoa Color ad where Ethan Suplee, a young Ethan Suplee, is playing.
I was thinking that guy looks like him.
and he has to smash himself in the head with a dead squirrel to see colors while playing on a Game Boy.
Yeah, man, they were extra cool about the Game Boy. But our final ad is, so Nintendo, there are a lot of these online, but most of them are super visual because they're disgusting. The Play It Loud era for Nintendo. Mm-hmm.
The NWA era.
Nintendo, what?
Nintendo with Attitude.
Nintendo with Attitude. Woo! Okay, I thought we were heading a different road here. But so they wanted to be hipper and like appeal to jaded Gen Xers and be like, this is the new generation of playing. Rebel against society, everybody. Like, they were just rebelling non-specific ways, you know. Be cool, skateboard. The Butthole Surfers are going to play a song during this commercial. They're fun.
Rebel by consuming.
Exactly. Rebel by buying products at a store.
Rebel by swearing fealty to a corporation.
Exactly. Choose the corporation you like the best and then attack people online if they don't like it as much as you. And this is one of the Play It Loud ads. And like I said, go online, look them all up. They are Nintendo's answer to the Sega attack ads, but they do not acknowledge Sega in any way.
I think it's every parent's dream, maybe, to have a doctor in the family.
They can't hear you. Fight earwax. Crank it. Play it loud. Be heard. Play it loud. Just a montage, but it's like, again, it's a mom and it's a dad, and they're wrong.
So try hard, man. God damn. No, I mean, you can see.
They're called Butthole Surfers. Come on.
Nintendo is just shaking in their boots and they're not cool anymore, but then it just feels like they're trying to be as cool as Genesis. They just didn't. And it would be PlayStation that would finally, like, really jump this with You Are Not Ready, but this is just not – it tried too hard. Same with, like, there's a Killer Instinct commercial that's the same deal, except they're going to wash their mouths out with soap. These kids are swearing so much in this game.
Yeah, you're right. And also, like, okay, so the final thing I'll talk about is, like, the Yoshi's Island commercial where it's – we talk about it several times, but it must be – I watched it again today, and I was shocked because –
I couldn't believe it.
Mr. Creosote.
Exactly. They rip off the meaning of life scene, like 100%. And it's just as graphic. Like, the guy explodes and his insides hit everybody in the restaurant, where Yoshi's Island is the cutest, most colorful, fun game in the world, but
it's
like,
nicest game ever.
Here's the world's fattest man just shoving food in his face and his guts explode all over everybody.
They check out this game drawn in crayon. It's so badass.
Yeah, they did not know what to do. It's funny to see them do commercials like that with Yoshi and Kirby and like try to make them edgy, but it's like
Kirby has angry eyes.
Samus did this.
Yes.
Well, with Dragon... at least with Donkey Kong, like Donkey Kong's like a monkey with bananas, so it's the easy 90s extreme stuff fits it perfectly, and they've got a Funky Kong.
Yeah, I mean, they just have to go the TNC surf route.
Exactly.
There was a monkey surfing there with a tie. Easy. That's easy.
All these commercials were done in funky mode.
And another reason they needed to play it loud is because it wasn't just that Sonic was cooler than Mario, it was that people knew you got the wussier version of Mortal Kombat on the Super NES. If you wanted blood in the coolest game ever, you needed to play on the Genesis. You weren't going to get it on Nintendo. So they needed to also really up that. That was a big point of the I know in one of the Play It Loud ads, they have Mortal Kombat 2 in there, and they got to be clear of, like, it's got blood, okay?
Yeah, we're going to show you the blood.
We didn't change it.
They would try a couple years later, too. So the Play It Loud campaign for the Game Boy was like when they put all the colors in, right? Like, you got like the red and the green one. And
it worked a little better.
I like those a lot better.
But they also, when the Game Boy Pocket came out, the next iteration of the Game Boy, they brought back one commercial thing that we talked about earlier where it was still kind of that. It was like cool punks in a mall with like their JNCO jeans and like they have big enough pockets to put it. And then they're hassling some old people and the old guy's like, I ought to hit you with this. And he pulls out his Game Boy Pocket and they're all like, Game Boy Pocket, whoa!
So
they all kind of like come together to be cool together.
Those Play It Loud ads were great because they could show you like, look how many colors Game Boy comes in. The screen's still the same.
Yeah.
So that was our exploration of ads for consoles for the most part. And I just want to ask everybody before we leave, like, how have ads changed? I feel that ads are just gameplay footage now or CGI trailers. They don't show people playing the games anymore. These things are all a thing of the past. Like, any input on this question?
We don't even get Mad World anymore.
That's true.
Mad World or whatever.
Yeah, that overdone cover or
yeah.
All
around me.
At best, I mean, yeah, you get the ads today, like for God of War. It's just, it's not even gameplay footage. It's just a CGI short film.
Or like Dead Island, that famous short film was nothing like the game at all in terms of tone or anything.
TV commercials are for car insurance now.
That's true. The general needs to talk to you.
If you see someone playing a game, usually the most recent major ones, I think, I mean, even recent's not the right word. It's Nintendo, the DS and Wii era ones of like a celebrity is playing Brain Age.
There was the Switch. You'd go to your cool rooftop party.
That's true. That
the Switch was
true,
the one outlier where it's like, we need to show you how this works because it's different than everything
and
else.
And it showed it for
the
everybody.
The cartridge going in.
Oh, yeah.
I think Grand Theft Auto Vice City changed everything because that was the commercial that was like – it was a Flock of Seagulls video. It was Iran, and it was just footage of sunsets and stuff. Uh-huh. And then,
it was huge. It was everywhere.
Some game advertising, like some cinema scenes kind of interspliced. But it was really – it really tried to make the game look like a movie more so than anything before that had.
You're right. Yeah, it's like a movie
and
they
used
trailer.
All in-game footage and in-game music. And all of a sudden, like, video game ads changed.
I think one of my last favorite runs of it, even though I did get quite sick of it, was the Sony spokesman guy. It was such a smart pivot from originally the PlayStation 3 ads were, this is the greatest god of, you have a new Jesus now, it's the PlayStation 3, it will melt your face. Then they needed, it was so self-serious and nobody was into it, that then they needed to have a jokey pitch man who's like, I'm the fake CEO of Sony. Hey, buddy, what's up?
Do you remember why he got fired?
He started an ad with a Wii in it.
Yeah, he played a Wii on television.
I mean, his time was almost up at that point.
Yeah, he did. Anyway.
Kevin, what was his name?
Butler.
Yeah.
I eventually got sick of it and kind of got very tired of like people who thought he was like, oh, what a cool guy. It's like, it's a fucking commercial.
Clever at best.
Its worst one was, speaking of the gender stuff, and it was that there was the one about for Uncharted 2, which was like, my girlfriend thinks it's a movie.
My stupid girlfriend won't let me play my video game.
She thinks she's people.
Yeah, she thinks it's a 14-hour movie.
Now I can fool her and play a game. So yes, thanks for joining us, folks, with our adventure through video game ads. There's more material to cover. I just wanted to grab like the console stuff, but I think I could do more episodes around this, maybe a live show or two. Who knows? But I hope you enjoyed it. And I have been your host, Bob Mackey, and I'll tell you all about Retronauts and how it's funded and all that good stuff. You can go to patreon.com/retronauts. And by the way, the show is entirely funded by that Patreon. If you give it $3 a month, that is a very popular tier. You will get every episode a week at a time and ad-free at a higher bitrate. And there are more tiers on top of that with more rewards. So please support us. It's not a lot. You can just give $1 a month if you want. You won't get anything except for the satisfaction of helping your game bros. Everybody else, where can we find you? Let's start with Matthew.
I make a show on YouTube called Cartoons 101 at youtube.com/cartoons101. And it's also supported by a Patreon where you get a whole bonus podcast every week. The current through line of the show is I'm watching all of Neon Genesis Evangelion with a series of cool internet guests like you guys. I talked to two of the guys from the One Piece podcast, Don from the Anime Nostalgia podcast, Tristan Cooper from Dorkly, Alex Fraioli, who's been on this show, a bunch of cool people. And then I've also interviewed cartoon creators like Bill Oakley from The Simpsons and Mission Hill. I'm going to talk to Evan Dorkin soon. I'm going to talk to Dana Snyder. I interviewed Scott Gardner, who was on a podcast I love called Podcast The Ride, which you should also listen to. And my Twitter is at Mr. Matt J.
Awesome. Thank you. Jeremy, how about you? You got some stuff going on.
Yeah, you can find me here at Retronauts.com, and I'm on Twitter as GameSpite. And also, if you are interested in seeing the history of Game Boy, not Game Gear, all those monochrome games, check out my YouTube series, Retronauts Video Works, which also has a Patreon because, of course, that's Patreon.com/GameSpite. And your support helps me track down video games, like complete Game Boy games, so that I can not only create videos about them, but also document them in print. And my goal by the time I'm 80 is to have done the entire run of Game Boy games and create – a total historic chronology of that entire platform, and also NES and Super NES and Virtual Boy and Super Graphics, and I don't know what else.
You'll need to remaster them all in 16K in about 20 years, so get ready for that. Henry.
Hey, I'm HENERYG on Twitter, and me and Bob do our own little podcasts as well. We do Talking Simpsons, where we go through every episode of The Simpsons in chronological order, deep into season 7 now. We also do What a Cartoon, where we take a different cartoon each week and analyze it in our same Simpsony form. We play the clips, we talk about it, we laugh about it. It's a ton of fun. And if you would like to support us on Patreon, you can get every episode a week early and ad-free of both Talking Simpsons and What a Cartoon. And you get access to Talking Futurama, the entire first season of Futurama done in the Talking Simpsons style. Matt Jay and Jeremy have been on it, as well as friends of the show, of this show, Retronauts, Kat Bailey. Give it a listen, folks. It's at patreon.com/TalkingSimpsons or Talking Simpsons and What a Cartoon in your iTunes and all that other stuff.
Thank you for listening, folks. We'll see you soon with a brand new episode of Retronauts. Goodbye.